Let us turn again to worship God, and we begin in Psalm number 73, and verses 1 to 9, to God's glory. Yet God is good to Israel, to each pure-hearted one. But as for me, my steps near slipped, my feet were almost gone. Psalm 73. And we sing the opening verses 1 to 9. Let us join together in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that so often we do experience what the psalmist experienced in the psalm that we are singing, how our feet sometimes almost slip away. We look at the wicked and the world, and we are envious sometimes, and we see their prosperity, and we see at times our own difficulties. We see too much of their prosperity and too much of our difficulties at times, and we forget, Lord, that the richest of the worldly people are spiritually poverty stricken, and that even the most downtrodden believer is rich in all the promises of the gospel, rich in grace, rich as the heirs of that heavenly inheritance which belongs to every single one of those who believe in Christ Jesus, not simply something for the future, but inheritors now, possessors now of something that is fully to be enjoyed, not only when we die and go into the heavenly places, but also in the great day when Christ comes again, and glorification and all the fullnesses of the promises are finally realized and experienced by us. And oh, the blessing then. And so we pray that we would not be envious of the wicked, that we would not be overmuch cast down by the way in which we seemingly day by day cleanse our hands and imagine that it is in vain, washing our hands in innocence. But Lord, we know it is never in vain to seek the Lord, to seek to be growing in grace, to be reading the scriptures, to be praying, to be singing, to be worshipping, to be clinging on to Christ, to be constantly looking unto Jesus. Never a vain, empty thing. Those who call upon him shall be saved. Those who come to him shall never be turned away. And those who believe in him shall never be put to shame. This is our gospel, O God. And in the light of that gospel, once again, we gather here this afternoon to worship and to bow down, to pray and to praise, as God's people have always done from the very beginning when men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And as we read through the scriptures, right through the long history of Israel and the history of the New Testament church, and down to our own day, we find a long, long history of men and women calling upon the name of the Lord. This is characteristic, God's elect cry unto him day and night. The mark of true salvation is, behold, he is praying. And so as we gather here again, O God, help us to raise our spirits as we sing the experience of the psalmists, as we enter into the reality of what they are speaking about, when at times the world seems to be winning and at other times we seem to be on victory's side. And so we pray that we would sing and raise our hearts to God, knowing that always the victory belongs to Jesus Christ. He has done great things for us. We pray that we would be glad in what he has done and experience more and more in our own daily living that victory over sin and over ourselves, over our prejudices, over our confused thinking, over our ignorance of Christ, over our love of the world, over our fear of man, over all the debilitating influences that hold us back, and that we would more and more depend upon that grace which is sufficient for us in every time of need, and more be constrained by the love of Christ, and that we would rise to newness of life in him, knowing that as we believe in Christ, and as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. So we pray. We pray for the church. We pray for the congregations of Christ everywhere today, throughout the entire world. We pray for every Christian believer who is gathering or wishing to gather, seeking to gather, making efforts to gather, together to come and worship the Lord amongst the Lord's people. We pray for those who preach the gospel, O God. Many thousands we know throughout the world are standing up, opening up the scriptures, praying and preaching, trying to bring God's gospel to bear upon the hearts of people and to bring people's hearts under the power and influence of the gospel And so we pray for preachers to be bold, to be accurate, to be sincere, to be zealous, to be faithful, full of faith, full of confidence that the word of God is never bound, that it always accomplishes that for which God has sent it, whether it be as a savor of life unto life or death unto death, it is always God's purpose that through his word, his will is accomplished upon the earth. And so this afternoon we pray again, O God, for the Holy Spirit to come in the scriptures opened and to bring to our attention, taking the things of Christ, revealing them to us, applying them to us, bringing convictions, bringing consolations, bringing instruction, bringing his marvelous light, bringing his love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us. O God, we pray for the Holy Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit's power upon us in our generation. How ignorant is the world all around us, we see, and how at times the church is indifferent, simply living in a kind of a closed circle of holiness and piety. And we pray that we would indeed be the light of the world, as we were emphasizing earlier on, the light of the world. So, Heavenly Father, on this day when the world is remembering and seeking to remember the cost of peace and prosperity and victory, so we would remember what the gospel is all about and continually look unto Jesus Christ and try to remind men that there is a better way to live than simply the way that we live now in the darkness of our fallen world. So help us and heal us, O God, as we gather now to worship, and all we praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read in the Acts of the Apostles, and in chapter 26. We're going to read through the Acts, chapter 26. Then Agrippa, this is King Agrippa, we have been introduced to him in the previous chapter. And these are the only two chapters in the Acts of the Apostles where this King Agrippa is mentioned. Here we find him sitting in judgment upon Paul. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews." That's a verse that is worth keeping in mind for what we're talking about now. "An expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strict sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee. Now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, and to which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works suitable for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he spoke thus for himself, Festus, that's the Roman governor, said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then Agrippa said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Amen. We remind you of these notices once again very briefly. Our Wednesday meeting at 7 p.m. and next Lord's Day the services 10:30 a.m. and afternoon 4:30, and we expect that they will be recorded messages once again. We do welcome you to these online services, and through circumstances which are not of our own making, we are unable at this time to return to the church. The scaffolding steeple issue is an ongoing nightmare of an issue, and the Deacon's Court is trying to resolve difficulties in that regard. We don't need to burden you with the complexity. It is a very complex situation, and we are trying to do the best under the circumstances. So we record again for your benefit, and we invite you to listen to the word of the Lord in whatever shape it comes or whatever medium it comes. It is the word of the Lord, and it is to be heard. Our salvation depends upon it. May God bless these few comments, and we shall sing now in Psalm 73, and singing from verse number 12 to 15. Behold, these are the wicked ones, yet prosper at their will in worldly things. They do increase in wealth and riches still. Psalm 73 from verse 12 to 15.